So for those who have been here over the past several weeks, we've been in John chapter 21, and we've been in Luke chapter 5, and these are both stories where Jesus came to his disciples, and they were fishing without productivity all night long. They fished and they caught nothing, and then Jesus stepped into the equation and brought something bountiful and then drew those fishermen to himself. That's what it was all about. So I sat down and I stared at chapter 21 where I know I've been before, so again, I'm just throwing myself on the court of mercy here for those who may say, Pastor Kip, I think you've said everything you need to say from chapter 21, and I already got it. So if that's the case, good, but I stared at it this past week, and it still ministered to me. I figure, I'm still getting something from it, and it ministers to me. I'll do my best to try to pass it on to someone this morning, and may it minister to you. So on the court of mercy, for being repetitious, here we go again. Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he, or revealed he, himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee and the sons of Zebedee. Verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. So I'm going to go back to my fishing business, And they say unto him, well, we'll go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now, in my Bible, it's significant that they caught nothing. The nothingness there has significance to it. This wasn't their first time in a fishing boat. They knew fish. They knew their way around a fishing boat. They knew the tackle, the sails, the nets. They knew how to do this. This was their previous trade. So this was their old normal, and they were going back to it, and they were good at it in the past, but this time they went back to their old normal, but they couldn't make it produce for them. They got nothing out of it, okay? Now, I think it's just kind of a divine principle. You'll see it over and over and over again. In order to get somebody ready to truly buy into all that Jesus is, usually they have to come out of nothingness. They have to come out of an emptiness, because it's really hard to see Jesus and all that he is for fullness when we still think that we can fill ourselves full through our own strength and our own ways and our own efforts. And so there has to be this emptying out. And then Jesus steps into the boat and fills it full. So we have a nothingness in verse 3. So I have they caught nothing. So let's keep reading here. Verse 4. But when the morning was now come, the morning can change things. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. There's times Jesus is right in the middle of everything going on in your life that dismays you, causes anxiety. You may not know that Jesus is there, but we'll find out in just a minute. He's really not that far away. And that's really what the whole thought this morning is. You're not as far away from Jesus as you might think. Or we could switch it around. He's not as far away from you as you might think. You're closer than you think. So they didn't know that while they were fishing in the dark all night, catching nothing, there was a man on the shore. And we'll see how close in just a moment. There was a man on the shore, and the man was Jesus, but they didn't know that was Jesus. The Jesus who said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you, that Jesus. The Lord who said, be not dismayed. I'll help you and I'll strengthen you and I'll walk with you. Trust me, this guy behind the pulpit is no superhero. This is not my strength. Everything God has done for me this year and through me this year has simply been the Lord holding my hand and walking with me. That's it. That's it. So Jesus is standing on the shore, but the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus there. Verse 5, then Jesus saith unto them, children, my little children, the good shepherd, my little sheep, my little lambs, do you have any meat? Do you have anything to eat? And they said, no, not a thing. In verse 6, he said unto them, well, cast the net on the right side. Now, right could be opposite of left, and right could be opposite of wrong, however you want to take it. He said, right now you're on the wrong side of things, but if you get it on the right side of things, according to my word, it'll change the dynamic. The risk of looking like a brain patient, this is my left, and this is my right. Hope I got that right. Okay, this is not very far apart. Sometimes the change in dynamic is like not very far apart. Left to right, right to wrong. Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? They said, no. In verse 6, he said, cast the net on the right side. Because there's always another side to things. So let's try the right side of the ship. And ye shall find. And they cast, this is interesting to me, they cast therefore based on that word, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude, circle the word, multitude of fishes. They went from nothing in verse 3 to a multitude of fishes in verse 6, and from verse 3 to verse 6, the only thing that changed was the interjection of a man they didn't even recognize as Jesus. And he said, just throw your net over on the other side. Like, that's how close we, that it's just over there. And the dynamic began to change. So they went from nothing in verse 3 through a change from the left side to the right side, from the wrong side to the right side, and now all of a sudden by the end of verse 6, there's a multitude of fishes. Verse 7, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. Now there's a recognition. Wait a minute, that guy on the shore, this is the Lord. This is the guy we followed the past 3.5 years for crying out loud. It's Jesus. It's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher coat about unto him, and it was and he cast himself into the sea, and he began to swim towards the shore. And the other disciple, verse 8, which is John, came in the little ship, for they were not far from land. Notice that, they were not far from land, but as it were, 200 cubits. Now a cubit is like a foot and a half. So if you got 200 cubits, you got 300 feet, right? My math right on that? Okay, 300 feet's like end zone to end zone on a football field. Now, for somebody with bad knees or a health issue, that might be quite a stretch. Or if I got to go out and want, you know, run wind sprints that distance, that's gonna wear me out. But in the big scheme of things, you know, end zone to end zone's not that far. 300 feet. So in the darkness all night long, while they were toiling for nothing, there was a man 300 feet away on the shore all night. The man who said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Okay, this is the point that hit me. The disciples were not close to Jesus because they purposed to be close to Jesus. Jesus purposed to be close to them. Jesus knew they were out there. He got his camp stove, his cast iron griddle. He went down to the shore. He set up a camp and he sat 300 feet away because he said, I will never leave them and I will never forsake them. That's why they were so close. You may not feel like you're close to Jesus. I just came to tell you this morning, Jesus is close to you. 300 feet's not that far. If you got in a car accident and you were 300 feet from the emergency room, you'd go, oh, praise the Lord, I was only 300 feet away. Jesus sat on the shore all night long, 300 feet from those guys, because Jesus knew who they were. They didn't even recognize him as Jesus. But Jesus recognized his flock, and he came to take care of his sheep. That's you, and that's me, and that's our Lord. Verse 8, and they were not far from land, as it were, 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. You say, what was Jesus doing? Just hanging out? Well, he was hanging out, but he was also preparing breakfast for these guys. Because he's going to draw them to shore. He's not only keeping his eye on them as the good shepherd, he's preparing for them. Because the good shepherd has green pastures and still waters for his sheep, right? So there's provision. There's protection. And there's provision. You have a Lord and Savior who protects you, and he has provision for you. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire, a campfire, and there were fish, and there was bread. Making French toast. Amen. Good trout, some nice white fish or something, you know. Go with the French toast. Pretty sure there's going to be cherries down the middle of the French toast, a little drizzle over it, some whipped cream. You know. Get out of the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're going to throw some bacon on that campfire. Have some bacon, scramble some eggs, and eat breakfast with Jesus. Amen? So as soon as they were come, they realized, man, Jesus, he'd been working here. He's been watching and he's been preparing. He's the protector, he's the provider. And he saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, like big fishes, 153. 153 great big fish. And the Bible said, but the net didn't break. All secured and all tied up. And Jesus saith unto them in verse 12, Come and dine. But he wasn't talking about the 153 fish in the net. He was talking about the campfire, the fish on the campfire, and the breads that were cooking right there. He said, essentially, he said to Simon Peter, Do we want to start with your catch, or do you want to sit down and dine with me? Do we want to start with the best day fishing you've probably ever had, with 153 great big fish in a net that didn't break, or do you want to have breakfast with me? Come and dine. Jesus saith unto them in verse 12, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? By this time they know this is Jesus, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. So they took Jesus up on his offer. And this is kind of how it plays out in my mind. Jesus says, Hey, Simon Peter, why don't you bring your catch in? And they kind of pulled gently on the net, all just kind of drifted it in so they didn't break the net. Counted out 153 great big fish, and Jesus said, We want to start with your fish, or you want to sit down and eat with me? And they all chose to sit down and eat with Jesus. I had this in my mind this past week. Be careful. You'll find 153 reasons to say no to breakfast with Jesus. And every one of those can be rotten and stinky by noon. Sit down with Jesus. He's more important. Okay. Jesus was watching over them. He was providing for them. When they came ashore, he offered them provision. And they had 153 reasons to be too busy to sit down and have breakfast with Jesus. This is not about prioritizing your day. This is not about prioritizing time with Jesus. This is about understanding the value of Jesus and the value of time with Jesus and how valuable Jesus is. That net with 153 fish that could all perish by noon and be gone is a symbol of wealth. Jesus is a source of wealth. 153 fish, probably the biggest haul of the day that would make them the big man on the dock for the day. It's power. But Jesus is wisdom. It's provision. There's a wealth for the soul in Jesus you can't get out of 153 fish in a net. Got in the car the other day. I'm not a big listener of radio when I'm in the car. I'm usually going to pull up something on my phone and listen to it, or not. But I got in one of our cars and the radio was on. It was the sports radio. A couple of guys were talking about one of the owners in the NFL and problems there, and that's not the discussion. But anyway, one of the commentators said the most petty people in the world are multi-billionaires who own sports teams. He said, if you were a multi-billionaire and you owned a sports team, why would you care anything about what anybody else had to say about it? Why would you even care? And I thought, because it doesn't matter how much you have by way of material wealth, people are people. Feelings are feelings, and emotions are emotions. And 153 fish in a net that didn't break, like the biggest day of fishing ever, is not wealth for the soul. It's just not. Being a billionaire and owning a sports team is not wealth for the soul. And I think one of the reasons why Jesus said, hey, you want to start with your 153 fish in the net that didn't break, or do you want to come dine with me? You want to talk riches, or do you want enrichment? Do you want materialism, or do you want something spiritual that can feed your soul? And if we don't know how to dine with Jesus and spend time with Jesus and feast with Jesus and realize He's our provider, He's the one, you can't get very far from Him. Even Jonah tried to leave the presence of the Lord. He tried to leave the word of the Lord and the presence of the Lord. The Lord said, there's a leash on you. I'll only let you go so far, but you won't get beyond my reach. And Jonah tried to sail away, and the Lord said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Jonah can turn around and say, I haven't thought about you in weeks. But the Lord would say, I never forgot. I've never stopped thinking about you. Okay, and that's the message here. A bunch of guys immediately jumped into their old past to go back and do their old ways. The Lord was not forefront on their mind. In fact, the man on the shore that was talking, they didn't even construe that was the Lord over there. But they never got more than 300 feet away because the Lord showed up to camp right there to stay close to them and to call them back to him. And I just came to say this morning, that's your Jesus. I don't know where you are in the dark night. I don't know how distant Jesus is. I don't know if you're sitting somewhere where you can't even recognize Jesus. Somebody might be sitting somewhere this next week in a doctor's office somewhere, looking around going, I don't think I see Jesus in here anywhere. You know, and then they come out and they call you from the big waiting room where everybody's at, and then they take you down the hall to the little room. And then the person comes in to kind of review things, and then they get done. They go, okay, well, the doctor will be in a little bit. And then they go out and they close the door. And then you sit there. And you sit there and you wait and you wait and you wait for the doctor to come in. And eventually the doctor comes in. And you can sit through those. It just feels like dark. You don't know where all this is going. You don't see Jesus anywhere in all of that. And it feels like he must be far away or you're far away from him. I just showed up to say, if you sit through one of those this week or next week or in the future, he's not as far away as you might think. And it's not because you stayed close to him. It's because he stayed close to you. And I'll testify this morning. Nellie and I have spent our time in the doctor's office. The doctor comes in. We've had a few, like, okay, that one went easy. We've had some that didn't. But it wasn't our strength. There was somebody not far off who was our strength. And somehow he ministered to us a strength we did not concoct on our own. We didn't follow five steps to a better faith. We just found out the man on the shore says, I didn't let you get away from me. And when I said, I'll walk with you, I will walk with you. And I see you, and I will continue to see you. And he calls, and he says, come and dine with me. Just come and dine. And nobody handles fish and bread like Jesus. You know how many times he did things with fish and bread? You go, how did he do that? He's got the best fish going, and you'll get your omega-3s and 6s and whatever all that stuff is, and he'll feed you spiritually. He'll give to you spiritually. Where the temptation oftentimes is to reach for 153 more tangible reasons to find, you know, this is going to meet my need. No, it probably will just stress you out. It'll probably just be more work for you, and it could be another doorway to more nothingness. And Jesus is trying to draw us to himself. And he says, come and dine with me, and I'll feed you and I'll nourish you. So we have the watchful care of Jesus, the faithfulness of Jesus. When we step on shore with Jesus, as soon as we do, we see that Jesus has been thinking about us the whole time. He's been preparing an answer for you the whole time. And sometimes the answer isn't always getting you across the finish line, which is what we all want. I just want this to be over and done and cross the finish line. Sometimes it's just in the journey, there's something just tweaks a little bit from the wrong side to the right side, and it changes the atmosphere of the journey. And that's one of the things Nellie and I have noticed. Just changing the atmosphere of the journey. Just get some oxygen in the room sometimes. Because the devil, and sometimes the devil will even use other people, and I'm careful here, just to suck the oxygen out of the room. Like suck the hope out of the room. Like to pump some kind of almost poison back into the room. You know, I'm like Winnie the Pooh. I don't have time for people who suck the happiness out of me. I don't have time for that. I'm not mad at anybody. I just don't have time for people who want to suck the happiness out of me. I don't want to be in that room. I need a little bit of oxygen in the room. If you got to take the journey, you got to be able to breathe, right? Yeah. Spiritually, physically, mentally, you got to be able to breathe. So as soon as they were come to land in verse 9, they saw, hey, Jesus has been working on our behalf. We've been toiling all night for nothing, and Jesus has been doing this for us. So we have the faithfulness of Jesus. We have the provision of Jesus. Verse 12, we have an invitation from Jesus to come and dine. If you want to get busy with those 153 fish, go ahead, but you might miss the better nourishment and the better time that comes from Jesus. So the invitation to dine. And then we won't read the rest of the chapter, but the rest of the chapter is all discussion about Simon Peter and his love for the Lord, which is really, I think, about the Lord's love for Simon Peter. And then he discusses with Simon Peter the fact that, you know, eventually Simon Peter is going to die the martyr's death. Something he said he was ready to do at one time and then denied Jesus three times and didn't do it. And Jesus said, but that's how you're going to die the death of a martyr to the glory of God. And he talked about that. And so as I read through the rest of it, it's like when you sit down to dine with Jesus and the dinner's over, Jesus then just kind of sits back and says, let's just talk for a while. I don't know if you've ever had an experience where you're just in the Bible and it's just like the Lord is just talking to you. I mean, it's just beautiful. It's almost like conversation. So you have the faithfulness of Jesus, the provision of Jesus, the invitation to come and dine with Jesus, and then you have fellowship. Oh, the beautiful power of fellowship. Just when the word is living, it's just living, and you go, wow, it's just like God speaking right to me, that fellowship after the dinner, right? You have people over to your house and to have dinner so that you can eat together? Yeah, but then you want a fellowship too, right? You want to talk a little bit. There's nothing like the Bible when it's just talking to you. So in the course of living life, there's probably 153 plus reasons every day to get so busy, so distracted by temporal things that can all rot and be meaningless by noon if you're not careful. And you'll miss the true wealth and enrichment that comes through Jesus Christ. So anyway, those were thoughts that I had. I wrote them out. The net full of 153 fish, that's riches. Jesus with his little camp stove, a few little fishes, and bread. You say, what happens, Jesus, when you run out of fish and bread? And you go, well, that's when it gets really cool. You know, I can feed 4,000 people off this camp stove if I need to. I can do 5,000 if I need to. Okay, that's enrichment. The net is riches, Jesus' enrichment. The net is temporal. Everything in that net can disappear and be gone. Jesus is eternal, isn't he? The temporal will demand more from you and probably drain you, whereas Jesus will invest in you and give to you and strengthen you. The temporal in the net is perishing, but everything Jesus has is nourishing. The temporal in the net can be distracting, but everything that Jesus gives helps us to be focused. The net is about making a living, but Jesus wants to teach us how to live, right? A full net does not create a full life. Remember that. You say, where's fullness from? Well, Ephesians 3:19 says, to know the love of Christ, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Sit around the campfire, so to speak. Fellowship with Jesus. Let him minister to you through his word. See him as your provider. See him as the one who won't let you get more than about 300 feet away. And his eyes will be on you all the time. He'll call you, he'll provide for you, he'll fellowship with you, he'll give to you, he will enrich you, and with this is the fullness of God and fullness of joy. Colossians 2:9 tells us that in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead. Do you truly want to be full? It's probably not going to be 153 fish, great big fish in a net that didn't break. But you might find a humble Savior who loves you sitting by a little campfire, who spent all night watching you in your darkest hour, never took his eyes off of you. Now, as God, he never sleeps and he never slumbers. But as man, he got tired and weary. He was probably tired as a man, probably hungry as a man, probably wearied as a man, but even as a man, he was the good shepherd. So I just came to tell somebody this morning Though you may have a dark time you're either going through or it may be up ahead, don't ever forget. Though you may not recognize Jesus in the storm, he knows you and he's watching you and he's preparing for you. And I don't know what he's going to do or how he's going to do it and what the preparation, he's preparing for you. Just don't let the distraction of the world around you keep you from seeing the Jesus who loves you. Amen? Amen. So, Jeremiah 1:5, Jeremiah said, before I formed thee, or the Lord said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Before Jeremiah was birthed into this world, God was already standing on the shore, seeing him, preparing for him, and getting ready to guide him. And you got the same God as Jeremiah. So I don't know your dark hour. I don't know what you're going through right now or what you may face ahead. Just remember, not far offshore, it's Jesus Christ. His eyes are on you, and he's preparing for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this one thought. If your spirit would sow it in somebody's spirit, it would be such a help for some folks here who are going through some tough storms. Some tough storms that get very dark and cloud our vision. I pray spiritually that you would open our eyes and our ears, that we would see and hear.